A democracy cannot exist as a permanent form of government. It can only exist until the voters discover that they can vote themselves generous gifts from the public treasury. From that moment on, the majority always votes for the candidates promising the most benefits from the public treasury, with the result that the democracy always collapses over loose fiscal policy and is followed by a dictatorship. The average age of the world's greatest civilizations from the beginning of history has been about 200 years. During those 200 years, these nations always progressed through the following sequence: from bondage to spiritual faith, from spiritual faith to great courage, from great courage to liberty, from liberty to abundance, from abundance to selfishness, from selfishness to complacency, from complacency to apathy, from apathy to dependency, and from dependency back again into bondage. And that was said by Sir Alexander Fraser Tytler, who was a Scottish history professor at the University of Edinburgh in the late 1700s. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be here speaking to you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. And it truly is a pleasure to be back here speaking to you again, folks. I've had 6 weeks off the show, as you all are probably aware. Poor Frank has been playing repeats here at the station. And what a month it's been, folks. Some of the things we've seen happen in the last 6 weeks have almost boggled the mind. Of course, we have seen the NDAA, which came in just before I took a break, actually. The NDAA was then quickly followed by the Expatriation Act, which is an absolutely insidious piece of legislation. We've also seen them pushing for SOPA to be introduced and PIPA, and there's also ACTA, not to mention the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement here in Australia. So there's been all sorts of legislation in an attempt to further curtail the freedom of the people and the freedom of speech of the people, the ability of the people to share information. We've seen fines greatly escalating here in Australia as well, and all sorts of new fines springing up. You know, it's illegal to put a flyer on a car window now in the state that I live in. You can't put a little paper flyer on a car window promoting your business. If you do, it's a $400 fine. This has, of course, been enacted by local council, which is interesting in itself, as I do recall we had a referendum here in Australia in 1988 where the people of Australia were asked if we would consider granting local councils constitutional recognition and essentially the equalisation of powers, and the people of Australia voted a very resounding no, that we would not permit this to occur. And so one must wonder how the council believes it even has the right to enact and enforce any legislation, as they were never granted constitutional recognition and therefore do not have the legal right to do so. So, of course, even by issuing a $400 fine against a person for putting a flyer in a car, what you find is that the person hasn't broken the law. It's actually the council that has broken the law, because they do not have the legal authority to issue a fine for anything. But the people still pay it. Quite amazing, really. But the reason that they do pay it, folks, is because of fear. It's because of fear, and it's because the government, through their henchmen, the police force, have the monopoly on violence. And it is through this monopoly on violence that they are able to instill such fear into the people. You see, the whole society functions on fear, and what the government is doing with all of these fines and all of these new pieces of legislation they're introducing is they are making it virtually illegal to do anything, and this, of course, makes it possible for anybody to commit a crime at any time of the day. And this is something the government very much wants to happen, because what the government is interested in is what could only be termed total criminalization. That is, they wish everybody in society to have committed at least one crime, so that we have an entire society of so-called criminals, so that then everybody within society can be uniform in the eyes of the law. But of course, most people are too lazy to commit a real crime, so they need to be tricked into it, which is why we see the introduction of legislation making it possible for anybody to commit a crime at any time of the day or night without ever knowing that they are doing so. And this is a very effective method of bringing about the concept of total criminalisation. Of course, they work to achieve this within the Aboriginal community more than any other community. You'll find that the police work very hard to ensure that an Aboriginal child has a criminal record by age 13, because that way they get them locked within the legal system before they've even reached adulthood. And they work very hard to achieve this, folks. And it isn't that Aboriginal children commit crime or anything like that. It's just that if the police even see an Aboriginal child or anywhere on the street, they'll stop and question them and they'll find out what they're doing and they'll just keep an eye on them. As soon as they're old enough to be out walking around the neighbourhood with their friends, they just keep an eye on them and they make sure that the Aboriginal community is the most downtrodden and most abused in all of our culture. And they provide no outlet for the youth of today to be able to express themselves. So, of course, you're going to find kids walking around the street at night and stuff. So this is all it takes, folks. All you got to do is be a little bit underage, live in a town where there's absolutely nothing to do because the council has removed everything to do. And, of course, you're going to be pulled up by the police and you're going to be checked. And they're going to start compiling a little dossier on you so they've got you on the record. Because that's the way they want to do it. That's the way they want to have everybody. They want everybody on the books. The Aboriginal people in Australia are truly the most downtrodden people in this country, and this is because the Australian government is essentially a racist government. I mean, just look at the intervention in the Northern Territory, which has not been put in place to prevent child molestation as claimed, but has in fact been put in place to open up Aboriginal lands to practices such as coal seam gas mining. You see, you can't believe anything the Australian government says, folks, because the Australian government is absolutely corrupt and rotten to its very core. And of course, most of the prisons in Australia are privatised now as well, and you'll find that they've actually taken all drug and alcohol counsellors out of prisons, or at least severely curtailed their funding so that most of them have been forced to leave. There may still be a few in there. And you find that about 65 to 85% of people in prisons are there for drug and alcohol-related offences. And of course, drug and alcohol-related offences are essentially a health issue and not a crime issue. And these people simply shouldn't be in jail in the first place. But since they are in jail, of course, they are the people who require the most amount of counselling while they're in there, because obviously they are in an extremely stressed out state simply because they shouldn't be in jail because they have a health problem and not a criminal problem. So, of course, the government in its infinite wisdom has taken all of the counsellors out of the prisons. So it's a lot harder to rehabilitate the people within the prisons, and this, of course, keeps them within the prison system a lot longer, because since the prison system is now privatised, it's really all about bums on seats, isn't it? Because those running the prison systems want as many people in there as possible, and once they are in there, they certainly don't want them to leave, because if they leave, then the private prisons do not get their funding from the government, because they are funded per prisoner. And look, this is key. And this is the really important thing to realise, folks, is that the prison system was once run by the government, apparently for the purpose of rehabilitation. But now that it's privatised, it's run as a business. And because it is run as a business, it is essentially run for a profit. So it's all about having full prisons. The people running the business, because it's run for profit, of course need the prisons to be as full as possible. And so they work hand in hand with the government to ensure that they are always kept well stocked. And of course, as I just mentioned, this is why we are seeing so many fines spring up, so many new fines spring up, and why these fines are so exorbitant. I mean, $400 for putting a flyer under someone's windshield wiper. This is, of course, ridiculous, folks. And they've escalated the cost of being alive to the extent where nobody really has $400 to be able to pay these people. I mean, for the average person on the street now, it's almost impossible for them to survive. So they're just scraping through by the skin of their teeth now. And if you start issuing fines for virtually anything they do, if they step outside of the lines, then of course they are not going to be able to pay the fines, and they will end up incarcerated within the prison system, where all that you really need to do is have the guards abuse them and have them retaliate a little bit. And this retaliation need only be a person standing up for their rights and wishing to be treated like a human being. And then the guards can say, oh, look, this guy's got a little bit of attitude. We can't have attitude from people. And they'll write that down on their little prison record so that when the case comes up for review or parole, the guards can say, no, this is a violent prisoner. We need to keep him in here because he's not learning well enough. And they'll get to keep you in there a little bit longer. This is a very dangerous situation, folks, and the whole concept of privatizing prisons is absolutely insidious. But of course, it is what one would expect when one has a socialist tyrant and would-be dictator such as Julia Gillard in charge of a country. Julia Gillard is, of course, doing her best to destroy whatever rights the people of Australia have left, and she's doing her best to destroy the country of Australia itself with her blatant promotion of pollutive and corrupt industries such as coal seam gas mining. But then I suppose when you have a corrupt and polluted government such as the Gillard regime, then it certainly should come as no surprise to see the government promoting corrupt and pollutive industries. And we have certainly seen that taken to the next level by Julia Gillard and her demented group of idiots in their repeated attempts to curtail all that is good within this country. And the only people who are going to be able to fix this, folks, are the people themselves. I mean, what other choice do we have? Vote in the opposition? I mean, that's a scary prospect just in itself, folks, because the leader of the opposition, Tony Abbott, is an utter sociopath. And I'm sure that by putting him at the helm of the ship of state, we would simply go from bad to worse. But it isn't just Australia, folks. I mean, I'm talking about Australia a little bit this morning because it's my country. But, of course, we're seeing this everywhere. It certainly isn't unique to Australia. It's happening all around the world. I mean, look at the state of America at the moment. I mean, America is virtually gone, folks. The United States of America that we all know and love simply doesn't exist anymore, except in name. Barack Obama has certainly seen to that. But then he did promise the American people that he was going to bring change to the country, and he has most certainly done that. But unfortunately, it just has not been the type of change that the people were hoping for. All he's really done is eviscerate what was left of the Constitution and take the ideals presented to the world by the Bush regime to an even more extreme level. And backflipped on all of his promises, I mean, he's another leader who was simply elected on lies, the same as Julia Gillard here in Australia, who virtually stole office by lying to the Australian people. I mean, this is what Barack Obama did as well, because when you look at his actions, everything that he's done has been diametrically opposed to everything he claimed he was going to do during his election campaign. But then that's politics, folks, because all politics is theatre for the masses. It doesn't really achieve anything. All we do is put a different face on the same coin every few years, and the same agenda just continues plodding along to its inevitable conclusion. Politics is only there in order to give the people the illusion that they can actually have a say in things, give them the illusion of choice and the illusion that they can help change the direction the ship of state is sailing in. But as I've so often said, it will never be done and can never be done by using the parameters provided by the political system, because the system is designed to support itself at the expense of the people. It is not designed to help the people in any way at all. And they have elections every 4 years because they need to in order to quell the anger that is building up inside people, because after being lied to for 4 years, most people are ready to explode. So rather than have them explode, they give them a theatrical election And this calms them down a little bit and gives the politicians another 4 years of reprieve, at which point they simply repeat the process. It's quite fascinating, really, and it's quite amazing that the people don't wake up to it. I mean, they must have very short memories, because every 4 years they have an election and they are always so annoyed at the fact that nothing that their politicians promised them ever came to pass, and so they vote them out and they vote in the person who offers them the next set of promises, and they actually think that perhaps this person will do the right thing, but they never do, folks. It's complete theatre. So it really is a source of endless fascination for me that people ever believe what is promised to them and that they participate in elections at all. I mean, of course, in America, it's not compulsory to vote, and so people should participate in elections, because if they don't, then you'll find that the only people who will vote will be the politicians, and the people who they want to get in will be brought in by default. But at least in America, you do have the opportunity of voting in independents and people such as Ron Paul. In Australia here, the elections are compulsory, and all you really get is a choice between two parties. If you do wish to vote for an independent, then you'll find that the independent will give their preferences to one of those two parties anyway, and so your vote ends up going to one of the two major parties. So the best thing the Australian people could do at election time is stay home. If you had like a 10% turnout for the elections and it became clear that the only people who had actually voted were the politicians, I'm sure it would send a shockwave around this country. Whereas in America, if you only had a 10% turnout in the country, the politicians would be very grateful and very happy that you gave them full control over whoever they wanted to put in. So it's slightly different, the system in each country. And even though elections are essentially theatre, at least within the American system, you can create some sort of difference if you choose to participate. Whereas in Australia, in the Australian system, you can create absolutely no difference at all by participating in the elections, and so the elections should be boycotted. And I may have gone off the track a little bit with that, but I hope it eventually made sense in the end. What I am essentially saying is that if you didn't participate in the US elections, then the system within America would still continue to grind along the way it does, whereas if you boycotted the Australian elections, then the system within Australia would come to a grinding halt, because the country would not know how to respond to the non-participation and non-compliance of the people. I mean, you simply couldn't have a government, you couldn't have a parliament if the people didn't vote it in. And so people shouldn't vote it in. Everybody should stay home and simply say, no, I'm not participating in the elections this year because I no longer wish to support organized crime, and state that we're simply not going to vote until we have an honest system and we actually have an honest politician to vote for. But of course, an honest politician is an oxymoron, so I imagine the entire system would come grinding to a halt if we said something like that. And that would certainly not be a bad thing. Personally, I would like to see the system come grinding to a halt, because it's absolutely dysfunctional, and mankind has nothing to gain by supporting it any further. In fact, if mankind does continue to support the current system, then not only do we have nothing to gain, but we have everything to lose. And all people really need to do is to look around them and to become aware of their surroundings to see the truth in this statement, folks. I mean, look at the state of the world today. Look at the state of all of our countries. Look at the state of the war machine, the saber-rattling against Iran. When Iran really is a threat to nobody, Iran doesn't have an air force that could attack anybody, and claiming that they wish to attack Iran because of its nuclear capability that it's attempting to develop is a complete joke, when we allow countries like Israel to reign supreme, when Israel has an enormous amount of nuclear weapons, it has an enormous amount of biological weapons, and it has disobeyed every single UN directive that's been suggested to it. I mean, Israel is essentially a terrorist state and shouldn't be there in the first place, and is the cause of all instability within the Middle East. I mean, Israel has committed more war crimes and has fobbed off UN directives more than any other nation in the history of the world. So saying they wish to attack Iran simply because it wishes to develop a nuclear power plant is obviously an incredible double standard for these people to get on their little soapbox about. I mean, let's face it, nuclear energy is the most unsafe and insane energy that anybody could ever have produced. I mean, refined uranium is, of course, the product of a moronic mind and the most demented and dysfunctional invention ever created by whichever moron discovered it. And Iran is completely stupid for even wanting to have nuclear power. But again, folks, it's all theatre. It isn't anything to do with Iran developing nuclear capability. It's to do with Iran's oil and the strategic value in controlling the country. I mean, the West always did control Iran. Britain was raping it for its resources for many years until President Mossadegh decided that he wanted to nationalise the Iranian oil fields, and so he was overthrown by the CIA back in 1954, which is what caused all of the anti-Western sentiment in the Arabic world. It came from the overthrow of Mossadegh in 1954, and this was the CIA's first successful coup. I'm pretty sure I've spoken to you about it on numerous occasions before. But folks, it's all theatre. That's the thing. You see, Iran doesn't need nuclear power. Nobody needs nuclear power. There are energy devices that we could incorporate right now which would change everything. There could be free energy right around the planet right now. The technology exists. It even exists in the mainstream. I've got a talk on The Crow House by Justin Hall at TED Talks, where he talks about free energy devices. He talks about free energy being available from a carbon and polymer film that you can put on your window. And these sort of technologies are available. So all of the talk that we hear about the energy crisis and the whether we need nuclear energy and whether we need to be coal seam gas mining, even the talk about peak oil, it's all theatre, folks, because we don't need any of it. None of these energy sources are what we should be using. So this sort of renders things like peak oil completely irrelevant. You see, we don't need to be concerned about the oil reserves running out at all. What we need to be concerned about is the fact that we have a corrupt system in charge of this planet and that this system is withholding everything that could free humanity from the population. And the politicians who are in positions of power within this system and those who control them are the ones that are exploiting everything they can and gaining control of every resource on the planet and control of every single living creature on the planet. You see, our governments control the population when they're not supposed to control the population. They're supposed to manage our infrastructure for us. We are supposed to control our own destiny, and our governments prevent us from doing so while they steal everything of value from us. And they do it and they get away with it because the people are just so distracted by all of the theatre that's provided for them. But the point of the matter, folks, is that everything that the mainstream media and the governments present to you as fact is theatre, and it's all designed to further a globalist agenda. That's all they're interested in, folks. So the best thing you can do is not believe a word your television or your politicians and especially mainstream news reporters tell you, because all of it is based on lies and has absolutely no bearing on actual reality. And I've got to say, my friends, that there is nothing that exemplifies this fact more than the recent news report I saw on the Australian Prime Minister Julia Gillard being mobbed during an Australia Day meeting in Canberra. What we saw on the news was absolute theatre, folks. There were people standing outside shouting shame, shame, shame at her, which is what you would do if you saw her because she's an incredibly shameful person. You know, a woman who was elected on barefaced lies, who is a sociopath, who is a socialist, a racist, and I mean, she's done some incredibly bad things to the people of this country, so it's no wonder that she gets treated this way wherever she goes. But to see her bundled out of the building by a group of police officers intent on making it look like it was a violent confrontation when it actually wasn't, was absolutely incredible. You'll notice there were scenes in the video clip where the police are surrounding them and hustling them off and looking at the camera saying, get back, when there's absolutely nobody there. I mean, of course, they're only talking to the cameraman because that's where they're looking. And you'll notice that there really were no people jostling. There was nobody attempting to actually get to the Prime Minister or inflict any harm upon her in any way. But the police and our elected officials and the bodyguards obviously saw this as a great photo opportunity in order to illustrate how out of control and dangerous the Australian people are. And we will no doubt see some new laws enacted due to this confrontation. And again, we come back to the concept of total criminalisation. I mean, they'll be able to use this to bring severe restrictions against the Tent Embassy in Canberra that's been there for quite a few years now. And folks, this Tent Embassy is in fact the only representation the Aboriginal people actually have in Canberra, a little tent outside Parliament House. And we'll see it possibly used to prevent the gathering of crowds, prevent any type of protest, and eventually they will attempt to make it illegal to even speak out or criticise the government in any way at all, no matter what policy they introduce and how repressive it may be. And this is happening all around the world, folks. I mean, look at the laws they're introducing in America. The NDAA, the Expatriation Act, the Stop Online Piracy Act, or SOPA. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, folks. There are laws in some states claiming they own the rainwater that falls from the sky and the puddles that gather in your yard, making it illegal for you to grow gardens, making it illegal for you to think outside of the box in any way, shape, or form. This is all about total criminalisation, folks. Pretty soon it's going to reach the extent where you'll even be able to commit a crime in your sleep. They'll probably introduce some anti-snoring legislation soon and incorporate it into the Noise Act or something. Nothing would surprise me from these people. I mean, they've gotten away with it because Western cultures in the modern time seem to have a very substantial root in paranoia, and the government plays on it as much as they can. They promote this paranoia. They train the people to see everything as a threat. And they're taking away people's liberties more and more because they've actually brainwashed people to the extent where in this current psychotic environment they've created, people are perceiving liberty itself as a threat to their liberty. It's absolutely amazing, folks. Anything they can do to control human consciousness, to make people walk between the lines, and to prevent mankind from being all that they can be, they will do. But we've reached break time here now, ladies and gentlemen, so I will have to leave it there for now, and we'll go and have a break, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, folks. So yes, here we are, 2012, it finally got here. And the question is, what will the year bring? Although the real question should be, what will the people bring to the year? What will the people bring to the world this year? Will the people of the world stand up peacefully to bring about positive change? Will they connect with the people around them? Will they see reality for what it actually is and change the frequency of human consciousness and change the frequency of reality, which they could easily do with just even a small portion of humanity actually waking up to the reality of things and applying that to their physical surroundings? Or will they continue to walk the path of their own destruction as they have done for so many years? Essentially, will the people act this year? Or will they wait? Will they wait until December 21st to see if the world is going to change and they are going to be saved via an outside source? And thus, through their inaction, allow the rest of the system to be put in place through 2012, which is what the plan of the elite is, because December 21st, 2012 represents a point of no return, a point where by that time humanity will have need to have made a decision as to which direction it wants to go in. So the question is, what decision are the people going to make this year? Which direction will they choose? Will they choose a direction of fear, or or will they choose love? And when you look at this system, folks, and when you look at all of these new rules and regulations that have been put in place, and you look at the concept of total criminalization, you can see exactly where they're headed. Look at the state of the financial system, and you can see where it's going. All of the infrastructure is almost in place. And it's all happening right in full view. It's all happening right in front of your eyes. But nobody's doing anything about it because they're either viewing the whole thing like a Hollywood movie, or else they're waiting to be saved, or waiting for ascension, or waiting for aliens to arrive or something. Or if they are still locked within the mainstream, then they are being hypnotized by their television not to. They're seeing things like what we just saw with this Julia Gillard facade that we saw in Canberra, when they pretended that it was a violent situation, which they can undoubtedly use to bring in new legislation and more systems of control and give the police wider powers and all the stuff that they do all the time. I mean, as if the police need any more powers. We already have them walking around small country towns wearing body armor. So God knows what else we want to give them. And people just sit there and allow the world to be eroded around them while they watch their televisions. And televisions and the television-created reality that they think is real becomes their entire source of entertainment and social interaction. When they interact with their friends, they're doing it with the TV mentality. When they're looking at the political stage, they're looking at it with a TV understanding of it. When they're looking at the global stage, it's a TV understanding of it. Even if they can look at it from a global perspective, which many of them can't, they look at the globe and it's just what appears on the television. Oh, that's what's happening in the Middle East. Oh, that's what's happening in Lebanon. Oh, that's what's happening in Syria. They don't ever see how it all connects. And the news gives them a little snippet and basically says, look how bad it is over there. You should be lucky that you're in this nice, safe country. Oh, and by the way, you should buy our products or you're going to be a lesser person and your friends won't like you if you start thinking outside of the box. Now, you do what you're told, and here's a little bit of entertainment for you, and make sure you get up and go to work in the morning. And that's the reality for most people. And that's the way most people think. And that's the mentality that most people within Western society have. And most people are so scared of thinking outside of that box and really looking at the world the way it is because they're so scared of what the people around them are going to think if they speak out about reality. So they police themselves into never speaking out about things. It isn't just what they're friends are going to think about them. It's themselves doing it because they care about what their friends are going to think. The problem is that we've created a society where it's so important to have all of these superficial people thinking that you're just one of them and just one of the guys. And people within our society have been trained not to hang around with people who are too intelligent because we don't want to talk about intelligent stuff. We just want to enjoy life and go to the ball game and get drunk and talk about sex or whatever other distraction our governments have given us to be distracted about. It's quite an amazing little society we've created for ourselves, folks. But you can bring this information to people as long as you do it in the right way. And what you have to do is you have to lead by example. And you've got to learn the power of giving. I mean, I've been trying to demonstrate to people around here because I've got some friends here who are very business-minded, and I always see them struggling with their businesses because they worry so much about finances and they find it very difficult to give to people. And the thing is that if they could simply turn that around and create something beautiful and give, then they'll find that reality gives back to them. They'll find that the world will look after them. And their act of giving and the energy that they are creating from that is life-changing energy. It's world-changing energy. And it's energy that we are carefully steered away from through our whole social system, through our whole educational system, through our whole left brain education and the belief of what reality can be that's instilled into us by the system itself. But reality doesn't have to be that way. It can be something completely different if we simply change our energetic state and start living life in Lakesh with the people around us, start living our lives in a state of giving, we change the entire world. And we have the opportunity to do that. Everything that is being presented to us, everything that is being forced upon us by the system, by our public servants, regardless of whether you think they're servants or not, regardless of whether you think they're government or not, regardless of what you think is legitimate and what isn't, ultimately, these are just people, the same as you and the same as me. I mean, why do our leaders have to walk around with bodyguards and armed police and all this stuff around them anyway? It's to protect themselves against the people, to protect themselves against you, because they know how much they're screwing you over, and they're horrified that you're going to wake up to it one day and not go along with it anymore, and they think that you're going to get violent when you do. Well, the trick is to wake up to it, but not to get violent, just to simply turn away from the system, because the system is fiction. It only exists on paper. What's real is the people, and the people have forgotten that. And so we're allowing this small group of people and the armed guards that they surround themselves with to steal everything they can from us. They're raping the planet. They're stealing all of the resources. They're stealing all of our possessions. They've taken all of our land. They own the deeds to most people's land now. If you look at your deed, look at your deed of title for your property, you'll find that you're listed as a tenant on your deed of title. You're not even the owner of your own property. Everything that we created as a society that we believed was a good structure of government has been turned on its head, and it's being used against the people. It's being used to steal from the people. And that's what we need to realize. We can still have a government structure in place if we believe we need one, but we have to fix it. We have to put the people back in charge of it, because it's supposed to be a government of the people. And we do not have that at the moment. And we are fast turning into a socialist dictatorship. The entire Western world is turning into a global socialist dictatorship. That's what we're seeing. And it's being run by a group of central bankers at the top through control of the money system. And so that's where the clue lies. The clue lies in walking away from this monetary system. You see, this system is designed to keep us enslaved by making us pay to be alive and forcing us to profit from each other and to rape the planet in order to do so. So all we need to do is to do the opposite. All we need to do is to connect with each other. And always remember that if a piece of legislation is enacted, if a statute is brought into being, and this statute is unjust and calls itself law, then it is the duty of every thinking and responsible and caring citizen to break this so-called law. Because if it infringes upon the right of mankind to be all that it can be, then it is no law and it is entitled to no obedience. But of course you are only able to stand up like this with any degree of confidence if you have a united community that will stand up with you. And this is, of course, why you need to break down those borders of division and that fear-based reality that keeps you divided from your neighbours and divided from your community at large. But nonetheless, even if you do not have the community united behind you in your action, you still need to stand up against unjust laws, because you need to lead by example. But in order to do so, you need to know who and what you are and know what you are standing in. That's the attitude we need to have. There need be only one law, and that is to do no harm. And if a piece of legislation is enacted that seeks to do harm to anything, whether it is by granting unwanted power to a corporation or anything, and then seeks to do further harm to members of the public if they do not abide by it, then that legislation, that statute, should be thrown by the wayside immediately, and the politician that enacted it should be held accountable for their actions. And that would be true government. Because a government without accountability is not a government, it is a dictatorship. And ask yourself, folks, how accountable is your government? Look at all the things Obama has done to the United States. How much accountability is there? Look at the things that Julia Gillard has done to Australia. Look at the coal seam gas mining. Look at the intervention. Look at the carbon tax. Look at everything this woman has done and ask, where is the accountability? She walks around with her armed guards and she feigns a public attack when no such thing happened. The woman's a liar and a disgrace. Yet where is the accountability? Where's the accountability for the things that Stephen Harper is doing to Canada? Where's the accountability in England? Where's the accountability in Israel? And even in other countries, in countries through the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia? Where's the accountability in Saudi Arabia? Where is the accountability across Europe? What do the people do when they want to see accountability? What, we have to approach the government and get them to investigate themselves? I mean, what's that all about? If you think that I stole from you, I'll be happy to investigate myself over it. I mean, it's like getting someone who stole your bag to investigate himself to see whether he's guilty of the theft. It's ridiculous. It's about time we change things, folks, and this is the year to do it. The people really do need to make a firm stand for what is right. I believe everybody should simply refuse to pay taxes. Everybody should refuse to fight any more wars. Everybody should boycott the political system. I still believe that one day of global non-compliance, folks, if we could organize the people of the world to simply stay home and not participate in the system for one day, we could change the world. Because by doing that for one day, it would show that we do care and we do want change. That the jig is up, that we know what's going on and we are not going to play the game anymore. That's all it would take, folks. And the confidence that it would inspire would be world-changing. Because all the people out there who feel alone, all the people out there who don't believe there is a way through this mess, it would show all of them that we can do it. We can cooperate and we can coordinate. And everybody would know that they do not stand alone. In fact, they stand with the vast majority of humankind. The only thing that really prevents it from happening is the communication, getting the idea out to enough people, and getting people to see past their everyday existence to the bigger picture, to view the world on a grander scale, and to realize that we are literally one, and if we act as one, we can change everything about this reality that needs to be changed. We can address all the problems all at the same time, simply by cooperating with each other. And we can only do that once we perceive each other to be valid. We've got to stop pointing the finger at each other. We've got to stop pointing the finger at different races, different groups. Stop pointing it at the elites. Stop pointing it at anybody and realize that the basic problem is that the whole system's completely screwed up. It's completely messed up. It's only supported by us. And what we have to do is clean the slate and start again. I mean, everybody's got problems, folks. Everybody's got problems within their society because the society that they live in has created those problems for them. It doesn't matter what their belief system is. It doesn't matter how cruel or unkind they've been. They've been that way because they've been trained to be that way by the system that they've grown up in. They've been trained to be that way by their misconception of reality. Most people have got no idea how reality works, and so they are trained to be what their environment has taught them to be. So it's time we put it all aside. It's time we just cleaned the slate and started afresh. And I truly believe global unity of spirit amongst the people and a united act of non-compliance is how to do it. And that's all it would take, folks. One day of global non-compliance to this system. The global situation really does seem to be escalating. It seems to have been picking up speed more and more in the last few months as more and more laws get put into place, more and more legislation is enacted or at least suggested, more bills are put forth, the people's rights are curtailed more and more, people's ability to share information is attacked, and the whole human spirit is pushed further and further back into a cage a little more as the weeks and days progress. And 2012 is the year of change. But it's change that needs to be implemented by the people themselves. It's change that needs to be implemented by a shift in human consciousness. And it's a shift that people have to consciously participate in themselves. The world isn't going to simply change come December 21st, 2012, not unless people participate in that change. They have to do it by applying themselves to the world around them. They have to really look at what's going on and look at what steps can be taken to change the direction humankind and this planet is sailing in. The way this has to be done is for them to realize the power that they have. Realize that everything about this system has been designed to remove that power from them, and they need to reclaim that power. And there's no violence needed for this. There's no revolution needed for this. All that is required is an evolution of consciousness, an evolution in the way people think, a shift in the paradigm, a change of perspective from what people perceive reality and perceive themselves to be. This is the year it can happen. And the more totalitarian this system becomes, the more opportunity humankind is being presented with to change the way this reality is heading. So this is the year, folks, and the choice is yours. The choice lies with you. It lies with the people around you. It lies in whether you are going to spread information and lead by example, whether you are going to be the change that you want to see in the world, or whether you are simply going to point the finger, cry wolf, wait to be saved by a cataclysm or an external source or a global shift or ascension or aliens or the rapture or Christ or whatever it is that you believe is going to come and save you, when really the choice is to simply step into who and what you are and to realize the opportunities you are being constantly presented with to do so. That's the choice that is being presented to humanity as we enter into this very, very significant year of 2012. So what choice are you going to make? You see, the choice of which direction human consciousness will take lies with each of you. It's always laying with you. And the time for you to make that choice is now. You've been waiting for this moment your whole life. You've been wondering who you are for your whole life. And now you are being presented with the opportunity to find out. All you have to do is step into that power. Realize that it's all about energy and frequency. Step into a state of love and apply that to the world around you. No violence, no guns, no bullets, no violent revolution. Just a simple shift in your way of thinking and practical application of that new perspective to the world in which you live. Support your community. Support those around you. Stand in solidarity in a united act of non-compliance to this system. Non-compliance to anything that prevents mankind from being who and what he is. Anything that causes damage to this planet. How dare these politicians believe they can enact legislation which gives them the right to come and destroy the water table on your land or on anybody's land? Because they claim that we need things such as coal seam gas to meet our energy demands when we have free energy technology that is available right now that has been kept from us. You see, the whole world is upside down, folks, and it continues along this way because we don't stand in who and what we are. We have all these free energy devices available, but the government won't implement them, so the people need to implement them themselves. The only problem is that we've been taught to always operate within the parameters provided for us by the system, and so we never get anything done. And we continue to operate within these parameters because we have these disconnected, divided communities. I don't know, I've been saying this for 4 years now on this radio show, and it really is the way to change things, folks. It really is the method that we could use to shift this entire thing around. All we have to do is know who we are. And all we have to do is see the people around us as valid. Every right that you would demand for yourself, you need to demand for your neighbours as well. And you need to respect your neighbours' right to be who and what they are. Because otherwise, how could you perceive yourself even worthy of having your
perspective of reality seen as valid? How do you expect anyone to allow you to be who and what you are if you are not prepared to afford the same right to others around you, even those whom you may disagree with? There can be no injustice, folks. All there can be is the one law. Service to creation for the Creator. Service to all, equally. Service to yourself, but not at the expense of others. Service to others, but not at the expense of yourself. The law of do no harm. That's all we need. And any legislation that infringes upon that one basic understanding is invalid. It is void, it is no law, and it is entitled to no obedience. And that needs to be the attitude of the entire human race. I still believe we can change things, folks. I still believe we're being given every opportunity to do so. The worse the system gets, the more opportunity we are being presented with to stand up against the system. As long as we do it peacefully, as long as we do it in a united manner, then we will succeed. But the only way that will happen is if you break down the barriers between yourself and those around you. It's really easy, folks. Just be nice to people. Because if you're nice to people, they tend to be nice back to you. I mean, things might be a little bit iffy at first, but eventually people are just nice. If someone around you won't be, then try somebody else. And eventually they will come on board because they will see how much the community has changed around them. And I really believe we can do it, folks. I have every faith in human consciousness to get through this. It's just that the people out there, you all have to participate. Improve your own corner of the world and create ripples, folks. Because it will work and you will achieve something, but you have to have the confidence in yourself to do it. Well, I think we're pretty well at the end of the show here, folks. It's been a pleasure coming here and talking to you again. It was a long 6 weeks off. I did get quite a bit of work done, but I was also extremely busy over the 6 week period, as is always the case. But at least I did get a chance to catch up on a few things. Thank you for anybody who has ever made a donation to the Crow House, to the website. It is the only thing that keeps the whole thing going. The cupboard is a little bare at the moment, folks. We've had quite a large number of expenses in the last month or so, so if anybody can help with anything, it's always very much appreciated. Even if I don't get to answer you personally, please do understand that your donation is very, very much appreciated. Well, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today, but we are seriously out of time, so I'll have to say goodbye for now. I will look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take care until then. In Lakesh.